Let me invite you to open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 7. We do conclude this morning. We come to the end of Jesus' sermon, and it has taken us 6 months to get through what took him probably about 45 minutes to communicate. But there's so much in what he says, and we've taken our time to walk through this. And I want to take you back just briefly to kind of hit the instruction, the challenges that he's given us. It is a message, a sermon, if you will, that covers a wide spectrum of what it is that God wants from us and what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Remember, he is teaching this in a setting where people are already very religious and they're very much aware of God, a great heritage, the Jewish faith of Jehovah and the Old Testament and the history of the people of Israel. And they were incredibly religious people. Religion impacted every aspect of their life. So they're very much aware of God. It's an eclectic crowd. Some in the crowd are very faithful. They love God. They're following him. Others are going through the motions in name only. Some are... It's very, very similar to maybe what's happening here in a crowd such as this. We're all over the place. Some are just ready to take the next step that God has. Some are just not sure if God really even exists, if he's real. And if he is real, there is a God. I'm sure there's a God. But is it possible to even know him and understand what he wants from me? And there were people like that in the crowd. Then in a crowd of that size, this size, there were people that were confused. They had misinformation about what God wanted. And then there were those in the crowd that were just antagonistic. They were angry towards God. And they wanted to do life their own way. And so it's a very eclectic crowd, and it's a very wide-reaching message that he delivers on in this setting on the side of a hill. And so there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of instruction. He covers a lot of ground. In this sermon, he instructed us to recognize our need for God, to be humble before God and recognize that I desperately need God in my life. He instructed us to be heartbroken over sin, the sin in our own lives and the sin in the world around us and what it's doing to people. He instructed us to trust his timing, to wait on him, to act when he says to act, and then just wait and see what he will do. He instructed us to love him more than anything else. He wants to be number one. He wants to be most important. He wants to be the one that we love more than anything else. He instructed us to be merciful people. He instructed us to guard our heart and keep it absolutely pure. That it wasn't good enough just to look holy on the outside and to appear righteous, but we needed to be pure and holy in our heart, in our thoughts, in what was happening on the inside. He instructed us to be peacemakers in our relationships with one another, in a society, in a world where violence and division and disagreement are rampant. He said, be a peacemaker. He instructed us to be glad when we suffered for his name. To be glad when we could suffer to bring his name glory. He instructed us to use our lives to reveal God's heart, God's love for the world. He told us to be light. He told us to be salt. And he told us to do it faithfully so that others might see. He instructed us to live out the truth, to build our lives upon it, that there is such a thing as absolute truth, and we need to build our lives upon that truth day in and day out. He instructed us to forgive and to seek reconciliation. He revealed that God really highly values reconciliation in relationships. And he wants us to be reconcilers. He instructed us to let him rule our heart completely, that he would be number one in our lives. He instructed us to keep our promises. Do what you say. Keep your word. He instructed us to love our enemies, those who hate us, those who steal from us, those who persecute us. He said, love them. He instructed us to give him our best, to invest our lives in what he was doing, and to hold nothing back. He comes first, and his kingdom comes first. He instructed us to pray. He instructed us to fast, to stop, and to focus on him. He instructed us to invest our lives in his kingdom, to give up our dreams and what it is that we want in this life, and instead take whatever we have and whatever we are and invested in what he is doing. He instructed us to trust him completely with every aspect of our lives. He instructed us to stop being critical There's enough critics in our world. He instructed us to ask, to pray, to come to Him and seek His will. He asked us to choose a path. There's two paths, a wide and a narrow, and He instructed us, choose the narrow. Even though the vast majority of people may choose the wide one, He said, choose the narrow, and He told us why. And He told us to listen. He told us to listen carefully and discern what the truth is. Watch out, because there are people that will mislead you. There are people and there are systems that will distract you and detract you and take you down the wide path. And it'll appear that you're going the right direction when you're not. So He instructed us to stop and listen and to discern the truth. And then He closes His message with these words. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, because of all these things that He has just instructed us over the last 45 minutes, or 6 months in our case, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the water rose, the river rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, hears this message, this Sermon on the Mount, and does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What's Jesus doing here? He's doing what we still do today. This is the invitation. This is the conclusion. This is the application. This is the wrap-up. After all this instruction, these verses that we come to this morning, is simply Jesus saying this, now you need to choose. Now you need to choose. You need to choose to take my words and obey them, or take my words and lay them aside. So there's again, we're presented with two options. As we've seen throughout this message, Jesus likes to do this. He likes to say, here's one way, here's the other way. This way will take you there, that way will take you there. We're at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads. Now, you're here this morning, we're here this morning at 10:40 here in this building in Northern California. These people were sitting outside on the side of a hill 2,000 years ago, and they hear Him talk, and they were at a crossroads, and we are at a crossroads. We're presented with truth. Now, you've had 6 months. They had 45 minutes. And at the end of that message, and this morning as we stand here or sit here together, we're at that same crossroads where we have to decide, we have to choose what we're going to do with what we've been given. You choose to go that way, or you choose to go that way. You choose to obey, or we choose to disobey. I'm going to use the word this morning, and I don't want to offend anybody, but it's fitting. We're going to choose stability, or we're going to choose stupidity. Now, He uses the word fool, stupid, wise and foolish, stability and stupidity. Jesus is simply saying, make a choice. Make a choice with what you're going to do with my words. Now, He gives us a picture that the kids so eloquently presented to us this morning. It's a metaphor. It's a picture. It's the idea of building a house. And I want to just throw out a couple things that I want you to have in your mind as we move through our time together, this teaching time. This metaphor that He chooses of building a house reveals a couple of things. And I want this to be in our mind. Number one, our choices matter. The picture here is of building a house. I don't know how many people here have built a house. Most of us have remodeled a house to some extent, even if it's just painting. There are a ton of choices that you have to make in that process, right? Whether it's remodeling a room or changing out a toilet, which I know is probably my favorite thing to do. Christmas, change a toilet, I'd choose to change a toilet. No, just kidding. There's a lot of choices in just doing a simple project like that. And we've all been guilty. Well, let me not judge you. I'll judge myself. I have been guilty of thinking that some decisions in this process are important and some aren't. And I've learned really the hard way that every decision you make is important. The materials you pick, the time of day you choose to do it, your attitude, your frame of mind, your relationships come into it, believe it or not. You know, things are good between you and your wife. That has an impact on the work that you do when you're working on your house. I found that out the hard way. The tools you have or buy or rent, your skill level of using an electric jackhammer at 9 o'clock at night in your kitchen floor and rupturing your water line. Yes, that did happen. All the choices matter. And that's the picture Jesus paints here. And as we move through this, keep this in mind. The choices you and I are making every day, every moment, are significant. Because collectively what they're doing, Jesus says, is they're building a house. They're building a dwelling. And obviously he takes this house and he's comparing it to our lives. That's the metaphor. So the choices we make matter. We're building something. You are building your life right now, today, this week. You will make decisions, as I will, to build your life. Number two, we're going to face challenges and obstacles. Again, if you've remodeled a house or built a house, Charlie, there's obstacles. There's challenges. There's unforeseen things. The weather does impact your plans. Things happen that you have no control over. It's a fact of life. And Jesus reinforces that. It's going to be challenging. There's going to be things that are coming that are going to try to stop your progress. They're going to get in the way. Number three, there is a right way and there is a wrong way to build. In this metaphor, in this picture that he gives us, you know, I remember years ago when my kids were in school. They were at a local school here, and there was the philosophy at the time was, We don't want to single out any kids or make any kids feel bad, and so we're going to move away from giving A, B, C, D as grades, because we don't want to. And it was young kids, and we don't want to feel bad. We want everybody to succeed. You know, just everybody, what everybody does is fine. We'll just kind of, you know, make everybody even. And I remember sitting in a meeting in the cafeteria, and the person getting up front said, "Okay, we're not going to do A, B, C, D, and explain why. What we're going to do now is we're going to do 4, 3, 2, 1." Yeah, so, and I remember going, what? And four, and no lie, somebody in the crowd goes, "It's like an A." No, it's really, one of the parents. No, and then the three, "It's like a B." No, it's not. You know, and so we went through this whole thing. But I remember thinking, you know, sometimes we get caught up in this thinking that, you know, just everything's okay. Just do your best. Just, you know, as long as you're sincere, we saw last week, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, Jesus just doesn't present that picture. He presents the picture that there is a right way to do things and there is a wrong way. If you do it this way, you're going to be right. If you do it this way, you're going to be wrong. Now, do I get to determine that? Do you get to determine that? No, God gets to determine that. Jesus is going to explain what that looks like. But keep that in your mind. There is a right way to build and a wrong way to build. At each crossroads, there will be a right choice, a God-honoring, God-obedient choice, and there will be a wrong choice. And consequences for both will come. And number four, what we build on is critical. What you're building your life upon, those daily decisions that you're making, always reflect back to your source of truth, your source of just your philosophy, your approach, your outlook on life, what you believe, your faith system. Then your decisions and my decisions grow out of that. And Jesus says in this metaphor, it's just critical. Where you start, what you build your life on is critical. So the two choices here, the first one is choose the life of stability. Let me read those first verses again. "Therefore, anyone or everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain comes down, the streams rise, the water rises, the winds blow and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." And so there is a path, there is a choice that Jesus says we can choose that will result in stability. Simply said, practice what he preaches. Practice what he preaches. Take what Jesus preaches here. Take what he instructs and do it. Now in the Greek, Jesus spoke in Aramaic. So the people there hearing him speak in Aramaic. The written language of the day was Greek. The Greek culture, Hellenism, had just spread all over the world. And so writings were done in Greek. And so in the Greek, the word that's used there, the English translators, and most of our Bibles have made it this phrase. And the NIV, it says, puts them into practice. There's only one word in the Greek. And it just means do it. Does. He who does these things. It's interesting that the Greek writer used the same word here that he used before in the previous verses, and I believe it reflects Jesus using the same word. in his message. So the hearers heard the same thing up here when he says, make sure that you bear good fruit. A good tree bears, produces, makes good fruit. Remember that? We saw that a couple weeks ago. Same exact word here. Jesus uses it again. And it is in an infinitive form, which means it's this ongoing thing. I wrote a really good English phrase, and you can write this in your notes. Ongoing doing. Sorry, teachers. But it's just ongoing doing. You're just doing it, and you're doing it, and you're doing it. You know, we have a phenomenon today that's not new, but I think we can relate to this, especially if we've gone to youth camp or sometimes on a Sunday morning. We have these decisions we make, these commitments we make. We make them at camp. We make them at an invitation. We come forward. We kneel and we give our lives to God and we make a commitment in the air of our life. And within a few days, what's happened to that commitment? Way too often what happens? It's forgotten. We've gotten discouraged. We've failed. We quit. We give up. We walk away. And we experience this pattern of just that, I'll do it, God. And then we fall and we give up. I'll do it. I'll come. The exact opposite is what Jesus is portraying. The life of a follower of Jesus Christ is all about. It's just doing. It's just doing. And you get up tomorrow and you do it again. And you get up tomorrow and you do it again. Are you always going to succeed? No, you're going to fall. That's why we have grace and that's why we have mercy and He promises to forgive us. And we get back up and we do it again. 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 It's ongoing doing. He says the life of stability is the person who takes my words, that hears them, and then says, I'm going to do that. And they do it. And they do it. And they do it. And they fall and they get back up and they do it. And they do it. And they do it. And God just keeps working in that person's life, strengthening them, empowering them. And they just keep getting back up and they just keep doing it. That's the life of stability. It's practicing what He preaches. It's being a doer. I have a phrase that I've used in my life, my entire adult life as a follower of Christ. Not that I've always done it, but it's a phrase that I say to myself, and many of you have heard me say it to you. You start with what you know. I don't know exactly what it looks like to follow Jesus. Start with what you know. Jesus says, those who have heard my words and then put them into practice will have a stable life. You see the first part of it? You take what you hear. You take what you're exposed to. If you've been here over this series, as we've gone through these three series from the Sermon on the Mount, what are you responsible for? What does it look like for you to be a doer? You do what you've been told. You do what you've been exposed to. You do what you've heard. You start with what you know. So I need to make a big decision in my life. I don't know who to marry. I should look over here, huh? Not all of you, but I said the young crowd, but I know why you sit over here now. I need to know who to marry. That's a big decision. I need to know where to work. I need to know what I should do for a job. I need to know what my career should be. I need to know where I should go to school. I have these big decisions, and we struggle with those decisions. You know where you need to start with those decisions? You start with what you know. You start by being a doer of what God has exposed you to. He'll give you the direction for tomorrow and the next day in those decisions. But not until we start doing with what He's already given us. It's about being a doer. It's about starting with what you know. Putting into practice. What does this stability look like in our life? What does it look like in a practical sense? I love this picture. You're going to be able to stand. You're going to stand. Does it say that the storms won't come? No, it's pretty obvious, right? Remember the metaphor, the storm, the house? The storms are going to come. The challenges are going to come. You are going to face difficult times keeping God's word. You will. Every day, maybe. Some days harder than others. So stability is not found in that my life is free from storms. Stability is found in the fact that I can weather that storm and I will stand. I will stand because, He says, your foundation is secure. Remember the pictures of the houses after Katrina went through New Orleans? Remember those pictures? I remember picture after picture of a house that was like, the house looks fine. The house is, it's all there. It's intact. I mean, even the shingles on the roof are still there. The only problem was what? It was now 3 feet over to the west. What happened? Its foundation was so old and rickety and just wasn't planned well that it just shifted over off of its foundation. You know what happened to most of those houses? Yeah, they got destroyed. Yeah, on their own over time, they just fell flat, or they came in bulldozers and bulldozed them over because their foundation wasn't secure. They were not stable. Stability is simply being rooted, attached to a strong foundation, and that foundation is who? Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Let me draw your attention to this passage just for a minute. Apparently Matt doesn't like chapter 3 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prays this prayer for the Christians that were in the church at Ephesus. I pray that out of His glorious riches, God's glorious riches, He will strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you being rooted and established. Now, if you mark in your Bibles, just mark Matthew chapter 7, those verses 24 through 29, in the margin next to that line, because the word established there is the same word as foundation in Matthew 7. Paul uses that same word to describe what a stable life looks like. What is the choice of stability? It's rooted and established in Christ. You're connected to that foundation, and nothing can sever you from that foundation. The storms will come, the water will rise, the wind will be crazy, and you will be secure, and you will stand, because you're rooted and established in love and may have power, together with all the saints in the community of the church, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That is the life of stability. To be rooted and established, connected to Jesus, so that as you walk through life's difficult moments, instead of falling, do you see the picture there of what's happening? You begin to look more and more like Jesus. You begin to look more and more like Him. And in fact, if we just go back and review through this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, you know what we're going to find? The one continuity, the line that runs through all of it, is really just this. It's a reflection of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. This life that He describes in the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus just saying, live like Me. Follow Me. Embrace the values that I have. Treat people the way that I treat people. Be like Me. He wraps it up by saying, the life of stability is that you're so connected to Jesus, you're so rooted and established in Him, that no matter what happens in your life, the end result is you're going to look more and more like Jesus. And you'll stand. And you'll stand. Luke's recording this same message says it like this. And just, you can turn there if you want, or you can just trust me. Chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Jesus is speaking. I will show you what He is like who comes to Me and hears My words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck, that house could not shake it because it was well built. The torrent could not shake the house. Couldn't tear it down because it was well built. That's a life of stability. If we choose that path, if we choose that direction at this crossroads, if we decide to take Jesus' words and put them into practice and be doers, ongoing doers, that's what our life is going to look like. When the storms come, we're going to stand. And we're going to look more and more like Jesus Christ. But there's another choice that we can make, and that's in verse 26. He says, but, and if you mark in your Bible, circle that word but, because but, I'll just leave it at that. It's a transitional word. It means something. Pay attention. Something different is coming now. Here's the other half of the crossroads. But everyone who hears these words of Mine and does not put them into practice is like a fool. Is what literally the Greek. It's just, you're a fool. You're dumb. You're stupid. And I say that, you know, I heard that joke about as long as you say bless their heart after a phrase, you can kind of say whatever you want. You know, yeah, her casserole ain't that great, bless her heart. You know, so as long as you say that. So it's just like Jesus saying, don't be stupid, bless your heart. But don't be, you know, he's being gracious, but He's speaking the truth. This is the Son of God. This is our Creator. This is the Savior of the world saying, You're really, really foolish. You're a fool. If you hear these words of mine, if you hear the truth and you don't practice them, you're not a doer of them, you're really like a man who builds his house on sand. The rains will come, the streams will rise, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. It fell with a mighty crash. There's not one person in this room, myself included, that either hasn't been the person who has fallen or knows somebody close to us that has fallen. And it's horrific. It's horrific. To see a life disintegrate, to see a life fall apart, to see a life come crashing down and be destroyed. It's horrible. We've all seen it. That's the warning that's here. Jesus says to people, they'd seen it too, I'm sure. There are people just like us. He's saying, this is what the result will be if you choose to go that direction. You've heard what I said today. If you choose to disobey them and not put them into practice, then you're choosing the life of, and just put it in quotes in your notes if it's not there so it's acceptable, stupidity. You choose stability or you choose stupidity. He is saying, choose stability and reject a life of stupidity, a life of foolishness. Real simply put, just don't say no to Jesus. Don't say no to Jesus. You can say no to me all you want. We'll settle that between us and we'll reconcile and be friends. But don't say no to Jesus. Make sure you hear what he is saying and don't say no to it. Choose to be a doer, not just a hearer only. James, the apostle, wrote these words in his letter, the first chapter, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word, God's word. Don't just merely listen to the word, but do what it says. Don't deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself and sees what is there. Another metaphor. You look into the mirror in the morning. Why do you look in the mirror? Why do I look in the mirror? Because I want to see what I look like. And what should I do with what I see in the mirror? I should take action to make corrections. Right? Shave, comb my hair, blow my nose, whatever. You know, that's my wife's job. Whatever. Just you see what's there and you go, oh, I can't go out like that, and so you make adjustments. He says if you're a hearer and not a doer, it's like you look in the mirror and you go, oh, look at that. And then you just walk out of the house and you forget and you go through work and it's usually, you know, midway through the morning that somebody goes, can I talk to you? And they pull you aside and you go, oh, I forgot, you know. He says how stupid that is. You look in the mirror for the purpose of seeing what is there so you can make adjustments. You want to see the truth and then react or respond accordingly. But it's like you look in the mirror and you go, you immediately forget what you look like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law, looks into the Word of God, it's a mirror. It reveals us to us that gives freedom. And that man continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, what he has seen, but then doing it, he'll be blessed in all that he does. So the picture is, don't just be a hearer and not a doer. That's dumb. We laugh at our children sometimes when they act this way, if they don't get hurt seriously. Right? You ever watch a child do the same thing over and over and over with the same inadequate results? It just doesn't work and they just keep doing it. And because you're a godly parent, you don't intervene. You just sit there and watch and you laugh at, you know, 12, 15 times. And finally, you feel so bad, you intervene. It's funny at a certain point. It's not funny if they're putting their hand on the stove and burning their hand. I hope you don't sit back and go, oh, watch, they'll do it again. You know, you warn them. They don't listen or they hear you, but they don't do it. And it's certainly not funny when God says, don't act this way, don't be this way, don't treat people that way, don't have these as your values, don't live this way. We go, okay, I hear you. And then we go out and ignore it, and our life is a mess. It's not funny anymore. It's not funny when the consequences begin to roll in because of the choices that we've made. Jesus says, don't choose the life of stupidity. Choose the life of stability. Reject the life of stupidity. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. The emphasis is very much on obedience. You get that? It's hard, I know. It's been hard for me to process this in my own life. The emphasis is on obedience. It's not on what you claim or what you say or how you look. The emphasis is on what you do. the choices that you and I make. What does stupidity look like? Katrina is coming. Katrina is coming. Maybe she's already come through your life. Maybe you're already living in the aftermath. There's another Katrina. Well, it comes after K. H-I-J-K-L. So it'll be like Louise or something. I know they change the names, right? They go through the letter, the alphabet. Katrina's coming. You're going to face storms. I'm going to face storms. And what stupidity looks like is that storm coming through. And I'm not, in no way, just throw all political stuff aside. I'm not trying to be political in any way, shape, or form. The reality is we probably couldn't have been totally prepared for a storm of that size. But the reality is also that we could have been a whole lot more prepared than we were. Right? And being unprepared for that storm cost a lot of lives and it cost a lot of destruction. Jesus tells us, Katrina's coming. It's coming. You're going to face it. It's going to happen in your life. Stupidity is not heeding then the instructions that he gives us and doing them so that we're solid. We're securely rooted in Christ and we have a strong foundation. So when Katrina comes, we're ready. Stupidity is going, oh yeah, whatever, and doing it our own way, and Katrina comes and our life falls. As Luke describes it in chapter 6, let me run back there again. The one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. Did you hear that? It's the person who builds a house without a foundation. Can you imagine that? Seriously. Can you imagine going out to Natomas or Folsom and you go in one of those model homes and just the outside is just amazing. You know how they make them look better than it'll ever look when you buy it? You know, and all the you know, just the landscaping, the whole thing is just amazing, except they never have a garage. I don't know what's up with that. They just got the fence across the thing. And you go in there and you walk in. Imagine walking in this beautiful house, the lighting, the paint, the cabinets, the furniture, and you look down on the ground and it's mud. You know, we're trying to keep costs down, you know, times are hard, and so we just opted, we decided not to put a foundation on the house. We got 2x4, 2x6s that are sitting, we flattened out the ground, it's really flat, we let it dry really good, and then we use that green stuff, we use those green boards, you know, the pressure ones, and they're right there on the dirt. There's not a single person in this room, I hope, that would consider buying that house. Luke says, if you choose to hear God's word and you don't obey them, it's like you're a person who builds a house without a foundation. The moment the storm strikes that house, it will collapse. And listen to Luke's words. Its destruction is complete. It's a total loss. Mr. State Farm is standing there going, yeah, it's total loss. There's nothing to salvage. We're going to just start from scratch. Total loss. That's the life of stupidity. Of building, trying to build your life, or me trying to build my life with no foundation. And Jesus has the audacity to stand up in front of that crowd and say, I'm the foundation. He says, I'm the foundation. You build your life on me. You take my words and you obey them. I'm going to invite the worship team to come because we're going to respond this morning. It's a very simple decision. I know it can be a very tough battle in our hearts, but it is a very clear decision. We've got two options. We choose stability. We choose stupidity. We choose to obey. We choose to ignore. If you've been here for any of this series, you've heard at least in part the words of Jesus Christ. Now the choice for you and for me is to decide to obey them or not to obey them. To be wise or to be foolish. Join me in a word of prayer, and then we're going to open our hearts up to responding to God this morning. Father, this is sobering to be presented with a crossroads that is so life-changing. I pray that you would help us not to miss this moment. I am so easily distracted. So many things can be on our minds and in our hearts and concerns and decisions and the afternoon and whatever else is happening in our life, and it's easy for us, God, to miss the moment where we just need to be still and hear your voice, and then we need to respond to that voice. And so I pray that you would do that now as we respond this morning. Help us to open up our hearts to your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear clearly what it is you're saying to us, and then help us by faith to obey, to choose, to be wise. In Jesus' name, amen.